Recording live from the ARC studios, welcome to the Sustainability Podcast. Our goal is to provide engaging discussions on a broad range of topics regarding cybersecurity, sustainability, supply chain management, plus much more. For more information and to get into contact with us, visit us at arcweb.com. Welcome back to the Sustainability Podcast. I'm your host, Gavin Simon, and we're going to be doing something a bit different today. Since April 2023, I have been tracking and rounding up global energy regulations every month and posting them as a blog via arcweb.com. This month, we are going to begin to give listeners the opportunity to receive the same information through a different medium. Make sure you subscribe and come back every month for your global energy regulation roundup. Today, I will be covering October 2023. At the start of this year, the European Union introduced the Corporate Sustainability Directive, often referred to as the CSRD. This directive has the potential to impact thousands of companies, both within the EU and beyond. It requires these companies to report annually on their sustainability practices, in addition to their financial reporting. The obligation to report under the CSRD is determined by the company's size. Most large companies and groups within the EU will need to comply reporting required for financial years starting on or after January 1st, 2025. As for small and medium-sized enterprises, they will have to comply for financial years starting on or after January 1st, 2026. But here's where it gets a little bit interesting. On October 17th, 2023, about a few weeks ago, the EU Commission made a significant move by amending the threshold set in the accounting directive. These amendments will impact which entities are responsible for filing CSRD reports. The reasoning behind these amendments is to accommodate for inflation over the past 10 years and to reduce the reporting burden for smaller companies. This shows that the EU's commitments to adapt and improve regulations as businesses' landscapes evolve. Now, it's important to note that these amendments are not set in stone just yet. They are currently in a scrutiny period, and if they aren't vetoed, they will be formally published in the Official Journal of the European Union. The adjusted thresholds will come into effect starting on January 1st, 2024. To reiterate, the company's reporting obligation is determined by the size, which includes how many employees do they have, how much money do they have in the bank, how much revenue are they bringing in year over year. So the first threshold set for large companies was balance sheet. So how much money do they have then in the bank? Is it over 20 million euros? Then you're going to have to report. For small enterprises, that number was 350,000 euros. The new thresholds that are recommended for large companies are 25 million euros, and for small medium enterprises, that number jumped 100,000 euros to 450,000 euros. So moving on to the net turnover total and the thresholds. So the past threshold for large companies was 40 million euros, and now that threshold has increased by 10 million to 50 million euros. The net turnover total for small medium enterprises was 700,000 euros, and now that number jumped 200,000 euros to 900,000 euros. The threshold did not change the total number of employees. So those numbers stay the same. For large enterprises, that number sits at 250, and small medium enterprises sits at 10. So just keep that in mind and look out for that, but that should be being approved by January 2024. Just one thing really quickly, if you'd like to dig deeper into details of the CSRD, I recommend checking out Mike Guilfoyle, my boss, blog post titled EU Drives Transparency and Accountability into Industrial Sustainability. Mike is the vice president at ARC and his insights are incredibly valuable. So moving on from Europe, let's cover the United States. First up, the Department of Energy made headlines by unveiling their selection of 7 clean energy hydrogen hubs across the nation. These hubs, backed by a substantial $7 billion in support, span from the West Coast to East Coast. They are a collaborative effort involving state governments, private companies, and research organizations. Now here's the exciting part. The $7 billion support will be released only after each hub meets critical design and viability milestones. This will then attract over $40 billion in follow-on investments from the companies involved. The selected hubs represent a major portion of the $9.5 billion in hydrogen incentives authorized by the 2021 Bipartisan Infrastructure Law. It was said that the Department of Energy spent months trying to file through these applications, but we're looking for diverse candidates and diverse applications of hydrogen throughout the different industrial sectors. So these hubs range from chemicals, fertilizer production, to applications in shipping, trucking, and power generation. Oh, but that's not all. The Department of Energy was very busy this past month. They also made another groundbreaking announcement, this time in the realm of the power grid infrastructure. They made an announcement allocating a historic $3.5 billion in grants to enhance wind and solar power capacity, fortifying the power lines against extreme weather conditions, integrating batteries and electric vehicles, and to establish resilient microgrids that can withstand power outages. This announcement included 58 projects across 44 states that have been identified as eligible for this federal funding. Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm described this announcement as the largest investment in America's grid. Now, let's move on to Asia. Starting off this month strong, Shanghai's municipal government is stepping up its commitment to green energy. They're launching an innovative offshore wind to hydrogen pilot project, utilizing the power of offshore wind to produce clean energy hydrogen. Notably, they're building on their experience with China's first commercial-scale offshore wind, the Donghai Wind Farm. The greening of Shanghai does not stop there. The city is also spearheading a hydrogen mobility plan. By 2025, they're aiming to deploy 10,000 fuel cell electric vehicles and to establish at least 70 hydrogen refueling stations, marking a significant stride towards sustainable transportation and clean hydrogen in China. At the beginning of the month, the UNEP Foreign Ministers and Environmental Authorities of Asia Pacific met for their annual conference in Sri Lanka. Senior officials pledged concerted action to tackle the climate crisis and the cascading effects of climate change on the Pacific Island countries. During this conference, the UNEP Director, Elizabeth Morena, said global cooperation and multilateral action are only hope to avert the impending catastrophes, signs of which are all around us. The action of member states and all stakeholders in the Asia-Pacific region will be critical to delivering for the people and for the planet. Well, folks, thank you so much for your time and listening in on the Global Energy Regulation Roundup on the Sustainability Podcast. Once again, these blogs are available on our website at arcweb.com, and come back every month so you can hear me speak about the global energy regulation atmosphere and environment in covering the US, Europe, and Asia. Please let me know if you have any recommendations, and please do not hesitate to reach out to me via LinkedIn, or my email is gsimon@arcweb.com. Thank you so much, and have a great day.